Here it is, another episode of the Infinite Banter Podcast. What is going on? This is Mark Jolliffe, a.k.a. DJ Soundwave. Thank you for checking out the show. Got a big one today. Got my man from D.C., the one and only Rock Abraham. Talk about his new album, From the Mud. But before we do that, if you like healthy eating, pay attention to this right here. Today's episode is presented by Purple Carrot. Purple Carrot is the plant-based subscription meal kit that makes it easy to cook irresistible meals to fuel your body. Each week, choose from an expansive, delicious menu of dinners, lunches, breakfasts, and snacks. Every box is an opportunity to learn and experience something new with easy recipes and fresh, pre-portioned ingredients. No shopping, no food waste, just globally inspired restaurant-quality plant-based meals. Get $30 off your first box by going to purplecarrot.com and entering code PODGO30 at checkout today. That's PODGO30 for $30 off your first Purple Carrot box. Purple Carrot, the easiest way to eat more plants. Yeah, as I said, big show today. Got my man Rock Abraham from DC coming on the show. So much to talk to him about. His new album, From the Mud, is available now. Gonna play a couple songs from there. Talk about his album, Thank You Very Much. His previous one and all the work he's done in DC and in the hip hop game with production and working with artists like Kool Keat. So definitely stay tuned. Really had a blast talking to the one and only Rock Abraham. Got to give a shout out to my last episode's guest, Reagan Era Records. If you've not heard that episode, please go check it out. That album is available right now. Reagan Era Records. You can go to Bandcamp. Just type in Reagan Era Records. It's right there. I've been posting about it. There's links for it. You could find a link to the Bandcamp page where you can get their album. Definitely check it out. Reagan Era Records. It's just that straight boom bap that we all need right now. So big up to those guys. And still check out Dre Cobbs and Zilla Rocka and a lot of the other guests I've had on this show in the past. Also want to get into the Disney Plus rollout of Marvel and Star Wars series coming up in the future. So that's going to be exciting. I'll talk about that after the interview with Rock Abraham. And definitely got to give a shout out to my guys at the Sports Life and Hip Hop podcast. I was on there this week. It's available now on YouTube. Big up to Channel 7, Ricky Suede, and Zeke for putting me on there. That was a lot of fun talking to those guys. Talked about Chicago sports and Chicago hip-hop and things like that, and they're asking me about the Cubs, and you know, a lot of stuff in there. So if you're interested, go check them out on YouTube. Just type in Sports Life and Hip-Hop Podcast. I've also tweeted about it. There's a link to the YouTube video. It's the first time I've ever done a Zoom thing, you know, where I'm a guest. It's pretty cool. It was a lot of fun to do that, and it's visual, so different than this one. You actually get to see my ugly face. So definitely check it out on YouTube. Again, shout out to the Sports Life and Hip Hop Podcast. Big up for those guys. And Channel 7, he's been on here. So I appreciate him having me on his show. So it was a really, really good time. All right, let's get into it. You can find this show on all digital platforms, usual places, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, all those places. Follow the show on Twitter at Infinite Banter Podcast. Same goes for Instagram and Facebook. Go on YouTube, type in Infinite Banter. You'll find clips from past episodes. And definitely go on Apple Podcasts. And if you do, feel free to rate and review the show. It puts the show up higher on the list of searches. That way people can find it a lot easier. So I appreciate that. Definitely, definitely represent. Big up to everybody who's done that. All right, let's get into it. No more messing around. Let's talk to Rock Abraham. But before we do that, before we get into this interview with Rock Abraham, talk about his new album, From the Mud. You know, the show never begins until the one and only DMC says this.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is me, DMC, the K-I-N-G, the greatest MC in history. And right now, you're listening to Infinite Banter, because we will banter on forever, because this is the only place for all of y'all to ever be. I be Infinite Banter.
All right, here we go. Before we talk to Rock Abraham, let's go ahead and play a track off of his new album, From the Mud. You can find it on all platforms. Definitely go check it out. This one right here is called Teeth, and I feel like it really sets off the album. I mean, I can't say enough good things about this record, man. It's really good, and I like that style that he's bringing. Big up to Rock Abraham. I can't wait for you guys to hear this interview. I really had fun time talking with Rock Abraham about his past and what he's doing now and things he might do in the future as well. We even talk about video games. So, you know, all you video game nerds out there, stay tuned. But here we go, Rock Abraham. This is his track called Teeth off the album From the Mud on the Infinite Banter Podcast. On the other side of this song, you will hear from the one and only Rock Abraham.
Pass me that beer can. Man, I want no beer can. Just chicken and grits. Rock motherfucker Abraham. Nick the wonder. Everything now is oaks, yeah. Man, I care about them folks, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat, no. Everything now is a hoax, yeah. Everything. Man, I care about them folks, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat. Stay sharp, get your whole crew sliced. I'm a stand-up guy, Drew Dice. Give a fuck about who's nice. Still got a chip on my shoulder like I just left the fucking flu fight. And y'all wonder when the hookers came in. I ain't a pimp, I'm a booking agent. My shit slap, get your woofers caved in with a splash. Like Jimmy Fly slipping came in, You bammers all out of touch like all the notes. I'm like a firefighter, I want all the smoke. Got a lot of shit in store like the mall approach. Miss me with all the bush, Karl Malone. Rock Abraham, by now we should know better. Transition from a deadbeat to a go-getter. My aesthetic too raw for Coachella. Fuck a cold Stella, I'm catching bodies like a pro wrestler. Everything now is a hoax, yeah. Man, I care about them folks, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat. I know everything now is a hoax, yeah. Everything. Man, I care about them folks, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat, no. Make them bust them teeth down your throat. Everything is a hoax. Me no care about them folks. Me gon' bust them teeth down to your throat. Them teeth down to your throat. Everything is a hoax. Me no care about them folks. Me gon' bust them teeth down to your throat. To your throat. Your throat. Your throat. Your throat. Yeah.
Listening to Dre Cobbs, man. DJ Soundwave, Infinite Banter, official.
You're tuned into the Infinite Banter podcast. I am DJ Soundwave, and right now I'm joined by an MC that you've heard before in past projects like Thank You Very Much and Suck My Disc. His new album, From the Mud, is available right now, straight from DC. The one and only Rock Abraham is here on the Infinite Banter podcast. What's up, Rock Abraham?
What up, Mark, man?
Yeah, thanks, man. It's like I was telling you before, I've been banging the albums out, and for those who aren't familiar, let them know about Rock Abraham and what it's like in the DC scene.
In the beginning, I wasn't even going by that name. That is my real name, but I was just going by my first name, Ciroc. And I changed it because of the whole, you know, the whole vodka thing. You know what I'm saying? I was just strictly producing back then. So I figured I'd reinvent myself, and I just got tired of dealing with rappers. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to rap myself. You know, the beginning was just all beats, but now it's both production and I'm seeing. So here we are.
And you do most of your own production on your albums?
So I entirely produced Thank You Very Much myself, but I didn't make any of the beats on From the Mud, just to get people in my city involved and, you know, just to prove that I can rap over other people's beats. Because what a lot of people said about the first one, they credited me on the production tip, and I was like, oh, okay, let me just not make any beats on this new one and see how it turns out. But
there you go.
I'm probably gonna go back to that on the next one, you know, because dealing with producers is a whole nother thing. I didn't realize. I didn't think it'd be this difficult.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, to get you out of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, I don't know if you're a control freak or not, but, you know, is it weird to not do your own production for your own album?
A little bit. a little bit, because when you entirely in control while you're creating, there's no limit and there's no constraint, that makes sense. Like, you're just free to do whatever you need to do, and whatever you kind of visualize, you're able to apply because you know you have the skill to do it. But when you get other people involved, it kind of hinders things from becoming what they're supposed to be. Even though we pulled it off on the second one, I don't even want to say this, but there were a few two tracks on this album, and I hate spitting over two tracks. I want the entire session, you know what I mean? I want to make every single element. And somebody's now, I'm not gonna say which ones because I feel like we did a good job on the
right
bit, but there's definitely some two tracks I'm just like annoyed because I want it to sound bigger than what it was, but you know, it turned out okay, but I'm never doing that again either. So
see, there you go.
Yeah.
The next one will be bigger and deafer, right? The next album.
Right,
so.
Yeah, and I'll be completely in control. Like, and even if I were to, because, you know, I'm not saying I won't rap over other people's beats again. I'm definitely going to do that. But as far as, like, a body of work, I definitely want to be in control entirely. So I'm 99% sure I'm going to produce albums by myself moving forward. You know, but, like, singles and shit like that, like, yeah, I'll rap over whatever. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. And speaking of D.C., I'm a big fan of Odyssey. You guys ever cross paths out there?
Oh, yeah. That's the homie. Homie. We've done some joints. They just never came out. Hopefully, I'll be putting out something in 2021 that I've been sitting on. I got to go get his approval on it because we did some changes. We, like, switched the beat on it, but... Yeah, I had a session with him and Sky Zoo way back in the day.
Oh, man, you just mentioned two of my favorites right there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Sky is one of my favorite people, too. Super cool, you know? Like, you meet a bunch of people in this industry that are just, like, unreasonable assholes, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Come on, bro, like you're an artist, I get it, but, like, your shit probably was way worse than mine. Like, can we just, you know what I'm saying? Can we just engage, like, normal fucking civilized human beings?
There you go.
But... Sky's mad cool, like, just very down to earth, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that was a fun session. It was actually with a blogger, too. I don't know if you're familiar with this YouTube blogger from, he doesn't do it as much, his name, he used to go by Bloodstained Lane. He used to cover a lot of MMA and, like, wrestling and boxing. So he was there, like, doing one of his skits and, like, talking mad shit. And it was funny because Odyssey's wife was there. And the way Bloodstained Lane usually talks is very, like he's cutting a promo, but with a bunch of cuss words. You know what I'm saying?
He's doing, like, and a wrestling promo, yeah.
So imagine, like, Ultimate Warrior, but with a bunch of cuss words. Maybe not as intense, but that's what it was like. So as soon as he was done, he looked at Odyssey's girl, who's now his wife, and he was like, I'm so sorry about that. You know, like, this is just, you know, in real life, I'm a really nice person.
He had, like a lot of wrestlers do, there's a switch that they turn on, you know, and they go from their gimmick and then they go back to their usual self. I guess she was like the Mean Gene in that scenario. She was like taken aback, like, whoa, where's this coming from?
Exactly. But me and Sky were just laughing our asses off, you know?
That's awesome.
But yeah, no, definitely Odyssey is cool as shit, man. Love O. He's a good dude and very talented. I always thought he'd be like the guy to make it out of here from the independent perspective. I know there's a lot of other people that made it out of here too, more on a mainstream level. But yeah, I've known him since 2002 maybe. 2001.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely, and I look forward to that song, man. Sky Zoo. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we switched it around a little bit because they both kind of approached the track a little differently. So from a producer's perspective, I just didn't think it was very cohesive. But those verses I'm definitely going to use, and something's going to come out of it, essentially, eventually. So,
right.
But we'll see.
Just got to figure out how to piece it together, right?
Exactly.
Man. Speaking of doing production, too, like... with this whole COVID era, is it tough to work on? Because you're talking about other people were producing this recent album. Did that make it tougher, or was it all done before COVID? What was the time frame that you got it done?
Yeah, the COVID. I mean, COVID was the whole vibe of it, you know. Because in contrast to the first one, right? The first one was like, yeah, you can hear that I'm down because I just got cheated on with the girl I was with for like a long time. So it was kind of like therapeutic. All art is really therapeutic to me, but that album's kind of like, all right, let me just make fun of myself, self-deprecation and all this shit. And like, you know, like, but you can tell I was in a happy place when you hear the first album.
Yeah.
The second one was like, very like introspective, in contrast to the first one. So, but as far as recording it, I mean, it wasn't so difficult because, you know, we have the internet now. People can just send you shit, you know. But the only thing is that the studio that I usually go to was shut down, and I couldn't go there and record, you know. So this album was originally supposed to come out, like, it was slating for, like, April, March, get it done, you know, and get it out then. But I had to push it back to October. So that was the only thing. I held it back for a little bit, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably the only thing I can think of as far as the COVID thing.
So it didn't really affect it too much, just the release date more than anything, and maybe made things a little more difficult, but, yeah.
Yeah, like, I had to end up, I mean, it ended up being a good thing, I guess, because I got a bunch of gear in my place, so I'm able to record here now. But, yeah, it held everything back, man. And the other thing, too, is, like, everyone and their mama was putting out albums.
Yeah,
so there was not a lot of bandwidth for, like an underground artist like myself. So it's like everybody's putting out albums now. Like, Jesus Christ, man, what's going on?
Some moms got bars, man.
yeah, man. Apparently, because everybody fucking dropped. Crazy.
Man, and like two or three albums, it's like I can't keep up. It's like, slow down a little bit, you know. I'm still hearing your last album from 2 months ago. But
yeah, I mean, how do you feel about that? Like, when people just give you quantity as opposed to quality.
I mean, of course, if the quantity is good, you definitely don't complain about it. I mean, I'll never. It's like going to a buffet. Like, I'll never complain about more food. Like, I'll eat it. Right. I'll take it all. But you're right. There is. It's kind of like. Like anything else, I want to learn it. I want to absorb it. And I feel like if I only play an album once or twice, I might not ever play it again if I'm playing another one, you know, 2 months later, you know, and I might have missed something on that last album. So it's kind of a gray area. I would say that, I mean, I'm not an artist, so I guess I'm talking out of school here, but I would just say that I would probably more or less let things breathe a bit. Like I do the podcast episodes, for instance. I don't like putting them too close together because I want people to absorb the last one, feel it for at least a good week, 10 days, and then get into the next one. If I put them out too close together, I feel like that person who gave me their time, you know, they don't get the shine on it. People won't listen. It'll get lost in the shuffle. So I don't know if that made any sense what I said, but I guess that's how I feel about it as a fan. But, hey, if you got good quality product, put it out, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if you can pull it off and it's quality, then I'm all with it. But, you know, for the most part, from what I've witnessed, it's like there's a lot of projects out there from artists. They'll put out an abundance, and there's a handful of tracks you'll like out of an album. You know, me personally, I can't do that. I could, but it wouldn't feel right, you know. Like, I would have to, if I put out a body of work, I know I absolutely love it. I'm confident and I'm satisfied. And, you know, I'll move on to the next. Like, I couldn't drop 5 albums in a year. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just not, it takes time. I mean, good art takes time. And it's got to have layers. It's got to be right. Yeah. To each their own. You know, I'm not even trying to shit on these people. You know, It's all love, you know. But me personally, I'm more likely to put out a bunch of singles, but a bunch of albums.
Nah. You know, try to be like Prince, put some stuff in the vault, and think about the right time to release it.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about this joint with Odyssey and Sky Zoo. It'll come out when it comes out. You'll get it ready. But, you know, you're not trying to rush to put it out just for the sake of, like, I got to let people know I did this. You know, it's going to expire or something. Like, there's an expiration date on it, you know?
Yeah. There's no, it's got to be right. It's got to be like, and I'm my worst critic, so it's got to be 100% what I want to hear, and then I'll put it out. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's verses that I never even got to use. You know what I mean? Like, for example, first album had a song called Rugged Music on it, right?
Right.
Posse
Joint. Yeah.
Yeah. It was King Crooked, Blue, and my man Jason Rose. Now, originally, it was supposed to be King Crooked and L's Eye. You know what I mean? So, but I had lost that verse. You know, I couldn't even get a hold of it. You know, I tried to get a hold of him and try to fix it. But it was supposed to be originally King Crooked, Elzai, and myself. And I did that for my boy, Joe, back in the day. Because he was like, man, if you put King Crooked and he used to go by Crooked Eye back then. He was like, yo, you put Crooked Eye and Elzai on the track, that'll be the craziest shit ever. And I was like, word, I'm just going to do that. He's like, huh?
There it is.
And then I was just like, all right, we'll figure it out. And one thing led to another. You know, good thing I had some connections to Detroit. And that was, you know, shit like that happens all the time. You have songs, you know, like Rock Marcy was supposed to be on Dank on
Oh wow.
Yeah. And I never got that verse. You know, that was a whole nother thing. But there's a bunch of shit people sit on. It just never comes out, or it doesn't, it'll come out when it's meant to come out. You know what I mean? So
right.
Yeah, you never rush. You got to make sure it's right. You're 100% happy with it before it comes out. That's just how I feel, though.
Right. Now, there's probably a difference between being like an artist who's just trying to, you know, put together a project and just trying to rush something out because, you know, you got something, you want to let people know you have it, but it might not be ready. So you're doing it the right way, and I feel like that's the best way to do it, is when it's ready, it's ready. You know, you don't want to undercook it, I guess. I don't know, or whatever, but...
Yeah, no, that's a perfect analogy right there. You want to make sure it's perfect. You know what I mean? You don't want to undercook it, and you want it to come out of the oven all burnt up.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
And it's got to be right.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And I like what you said a little bit ago about the difference between these two albums. That first one, thank you very much. I got to speak on it because, you know, I wish I had that record back when I went through a crappy breakup and all that. I was living the single life and, you know, trying to drink some beers and hang out and stuff. That album is crazy, man. Talk about the vibe on that one and the concept. I love that record, man. Like you said, it you grew a lot from that one, too. But I think it's very relatable for some of us that are listening because everybody's been through something like that.
Right. Yeah, man. It was a crazy time because I was with my girl at the time, almost going on for 11 years, man. And it fucked me up, you know? Like, I was like, man, like, really? Like that's a lifetime, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And I was just like, I remember a conversation I had with her, and I was pretty much done with music, you know what I'm saying? Like, I became a cicerone, which is basically the equivalent of a sommelier, but close to a sommelier in the wine world. It's a certified beer server.
Gotcha.
Or a certified beer connoisseur in the craft beer world. So I was like pretty much done with music, you know? Like, I was like, fuck this shit. I'm just going to sell beers with a bunch of nerds and make a living like that. And I was. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And she said something like, oh, like on some pity shit, like, oh, you shouldn't give up. I mean, you're so talented. And I was like, man, you fuck out of here with this pity shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and then I was like, you know what? I just had an apartment that I got around that time in Northwest DC. You know, like, I had this job that I was really happy with. You know, like, I had a name in a craft beer industry. So whatever bars we would go to, me and my boys would roll through and they would always hook us up. And it was just a good time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, me and my boys picking up girls, you know, like, drinking, getting fucked up.
Right.
Like, being the life of the party. And at the bar, everybody's fucking cracking jokes with us. And we were, like, at the center of it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a good time. So a lot of those skits, that's really how we talk to one another. You know, that's real shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
That was not, like, a... yeah, sure, some of it might have been scripted and written.
Right.
You know, but, that's really how that some of those voicemails are real.
Is the woman's voice real? That voicemail?
Which one?
The one where she's saying, you know, who cares if I'm with the dude that's old and.
Yeah, no, it wasn't actually her.
Right.
That's kind of what she.
But
said.
It's kind of like the vibe of what she was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said. So I was like, all right,
jeez.
Cool. Yeah,
man. I almost had to pull over when I was listening to that. I'm like, what the heck? This
yeah.
is the.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, and it was crazy. Like, I had albums. I'm not gonna say which artists. But there was, like, albums that I was supposed to produce, and it was, like, three back-to-back that fell through, and the last one was huge. It was big. It was a big name, and it was, like, 30 racks on the table from a distribution company. And then there was other two record labels that were trying to get a piece of that album, too, because they heard the records. And, you know, like, when that happened, I was like, man, I'm done. But then when she told me that, I was like, you know what? Fuck that. Like, we're having this great year in 2017. You know what? Fuck that. I'm going to put an album together. I got all this heat that I'm sitting on. And then it's kind of how
there you go.
That album came together. You know, like, I vented off from breaking up with that individual. And then I kind of just had fun with it. You know what I mean?
That's a good inspiration. It's probably like therapy, too, putting that album together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't put a price on that one.
Definitely. Yeah. But I was definitely happy with the outcome. I mean, people love that album. They love the skits on it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yeah, man, I think... I think we did a job. You did a good job on that one. So.
Oh yeah, and I got to ask you about doing a joint with Cool Keith. The song Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen him perform a couple of times, and you know, we all know right. Cool Keith. You know, the crazy aliases and all that. What was it like working with him on a track?
He was surprisingly chill, man. Like, he was real cool. And like, to be honest, like, I didn't even know about Cool Keith until the later years. You know, one of my OGs, rest in peace, Unique, he just passed this August, which is crazy, man. He put me on so much old school shit, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, my era was like my era was like the 2000s, you know, the DMXs, the Jay-Z's, the M&M's. That was my shit, you know. Like,
right.
So he put me onto a lot of like shit from back in the day. So he put me onto the first Ultramagnetic MC's album.
Oh, Critical Breakdown? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Critical Beatdown. And I listened to it and I was just like, at first I was like, all right, this is some old school shit, whatever. And then as I studied the game and as I studied the music that was coming out beforehand, and I looked back at all the other shit that came out in the mid 80s, and I was like, yo, are you sure this came out in 86? Like, this sounds way too advanced. Like,
right.
And then he was like, yo, I'm telling you. And I listened to like their entire catalog, and I was like, yo, Kool Keith is fucking dope. Like I couldn't even believe it. Like, that he was rapping like that in like 86, 88. The one thing, like, you know, like led to another. Like, I somehow got a hold of his manager's email. We made that track happen. Yeah, he was mad chill. We were supposed to shoot a video for it too, but you know, certain things got beyond my control. But I might even do a deluxe version of that album or like an anniversary. Shoot some visuals for it, because I didn't shoot any visuals for that album. As far as working with him, yeah, he was real cool. Like,
yeah,
surprisingly cool.
Man, that'd be cool to see a visual of that, even if it's after the fact. Who cares? I mean, just Cool Keith, right, man. He's just crazy, dude. That'd be something, man.
Yeah, really fun.
Yeah, you're talking about my era, too, you know, the mid-80s. I'm over 40, so that's right. My wheelhouse right there. You know, Run DMC and LL, Houdini and all that. So, right. Some of that old stuff, man, it's timeless. It still works. You know, I know everybody's got a different ear, depending on what era you grew up in. But, Ultramagnetic MCs, they killed it. Yeah, Cool Keith.
Man, they killed it, man. Said G on the production. I mean,
yeah.
Which was nuts. I mean, and I don't even go back to like, I don't even like base shit on time, but sometimes when shit is so great at a certain time, you kind of appreciate it more and then you realize, holy shit, man,
right.
These motherfuckers are doing that at that year while everybody was doing this. That's why this album stands out. That's kind of how I feel about like Low End Theory, for example. I believe Low End Theory is probably the best produced hip hop album of all time. Because
be hard
for
to argue
1991,
that one.
Right? For 1991, for that album to sound like that, and whatever, you got a picture, like, that album came out in 91. And
yeah.
Listen to everything else that came out even in 92 or 1990. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close. And I was like, shit.
And there's classic albums in that era, too, that came out within months of that one that you could argue,
right.
this one's good, too. I mean, yeah, like Pete Rock and CL Smooth in the next year and, you know, right. Wu-Tang a couple of years later. I mean, yeah, there's so much, dude. In that era,
there was so much good shit around that time, yeah. And then that something about Low End Theory, it just sounds obnoxiously fucking like out of space for that time. I was like, what the fuck is this, you know? So, like, yeah, that so yeah, he my OG definitely put me on to the old school shit, and it's kind of, I'm glad he did, because it redefined my ear, and I appreciate like the shit that came before me. And if I hadn't heard all the older shit, like I probably wouldn't have that ear that I have today, because it's really all about the ear. It's about what you hear and how you express it, you know. So
yeah, salute to him, and you know, condolences, rest in peace for sure, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, another track on that album, I was talking to you about it before, the video game joint, the last one. You know, being a video game nerd, I just said I grew up in the 80s, so I grew up on Atari and Nintendo and, you know, eventually PlayStation, stuff like that.
Right,
I love
right.
the sample in there. I believe it's Zelda, right, if I got that correct?
Yeah,
and a couple of verses. I like the tripping over shrooms like Mario, and of course, you know, talking about Zero Suit Samus. I see you on that one. I definitely agree with you on that. For those listening, check out the song. You know what we're talking about. But about being a video game head. You must be at least a little bit to make a record like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was going to do a whole album called Cartridge Sound, and I think it was certain labels I was talking to about releasing that back in my producer days when I was just going by Ciroc, but it never happened. So I had all this heat that I was sitting on, and I was like, yeah, man, like that song, that beat. I remember we had a show with Elzai in DC, and shouts out to my man Mental Stamina. He was a promoter back then. He put the show together, and I remember playing that Zelda joint, just the way it was sequenced on the album, you know, with the intro, and then when the beat dropped,
right,
whole crowd went fucking nuts. And then when the synthesizer came in, it was fucking deafening in there. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, I gotta use this shit somehow. So
there it is.
But video games, I've been playing video games forever, you know what I mean? So
what's your go-to, man? You play Madden a lot, or what's a joint you play all the time?
Back in the day,
I mean, I was Punch Out and Mario. Those are like my two that I played constantly, but that's going back a bit.
Yeah, I played NBA Live before 2K became the thing. You know what I'm saying? That was my go-to back then. And these days, man, I've been playing UFC a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, there you go.
I've been playing UFC a lot, man. So that's kind of been my go-to. But then just, you know, like, the first Red Dead Redemption was fucking crazy. So
oh, yeah.
I'm still trying to get through the second one. I have the second one right here. I've been so busy with life and work and this music shit. I never got the time to actually sit down and play it. Because that's not one of them games you can just kind of play. You have to play it. You know what I mean?
So, right.
To really appreciate it. But yeah, man, there's so many classic video games. Like you remember Tenchu?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
that
for sure.
Samurai game.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites, man. That was such a sleeper.
I think you mentioned Shinobi in that song too. So yeah
Shinobi,
another one.
Yeah. Shinobi was hard. Shinobi's so hard to beat. That's another classic.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden was one I had a hard time with. Mortal Kombat, of course, is the all-time classic.
Yeah, that's definitely a classic. And you remember Link's Awakening for the Game Boy? You ever played that?
No, that one I didn't. I didn't play a lot of Zelda, but I'm familiar with it, but I definitely didn't play. Was that one you were hooked on?
Yeah, that one was really hard to beat, but I eventually beat it too, man. But that was so crazy. It took like four or five of us to figure out the last mushroom, the Mushroom Mountain part. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like you kind of enter and you're in this maze. Like, you enter the one room, but you got to know the combination of what room to go to, or it'll keep setting you back to the beginning. It was just frustrating.
You need to brag on that, man. You beat it. On a Game Boy, too, that little green screen deal, whatever that thing was.
Yeah, you remember that shit?
Man, the technology. At what the time, that was like innovative. It was like, you could hold this in your hand and play a video game. Are you joking? And like now, right. It's like whatever. You know, it's like dead technology. But
right,
Game Gear, too, was
back
like
then
that.
It was everything.
Oh, man.
Back then it was everything, man. I love that Game Boy. But yeah, like, I just figured, like, I use that track and make it the closer of the album on some Here I Am, Game Over shit. You know what I mean? So, and I'm glad it came out the way it did, because it was just supposed to be an instrumental originally. But I guess everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah, you had to flip on it, man. You had to do it. And look how it turned out. And I'm talking about it. Was it 3 years now since that record came out? So, yeah.
Yeah, is it? Yeah, almost 3 years.
Right.
Shit. Yeah, about 2 years, but yeah, almost 3 years. So.
And you brought up UFC, and I noticed a lot of wrestling references in your songs. And I'm a big wrestling nerd. I talk about wrestling on here. Even on the new album Teeth, you talk about Sweet Chin Music, like a HBK reference. Talk about the record Teeth, and then also how wrestling is themed in that song and others.
That was Heel, I think, right? With Quelle.
Oh, you know what? I just screwed that up. It's right. With Quelle Chris. Yeah, my bad.
No, it's all good. Yeah, that was, me personally, I never liked the face. I never liked the face. I liked Hulk Hogan when I was a kid.
But now, no but way, then, man.
Yeah, but now, as I got older, I remember watching Bret the Hitman Hart. And I was like, yeah, he's a heel with his tag team partner. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, whenever he's in that ring, he does it the cleanest. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was just watching him, and I was just like, man, this guy's a beast. Like, fuck yeah. Like, yeah, people boo him because he's not catering to the crowd. But I was like, man, that's just, he keeps it real, you know? Same thing with Ric Flair. You know, he was braggadocious, talking all that shit, you know? I got a Rolex, I got a fat whip. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just like, yeah, people booing him, but yo, you gotta admit that shit's hilarious. You know what I'm saying? And then as I got older, man, I like these heels, man. I cater to the heel a lot more relate to the heel a lot more rather, because me and myself, I feel like I'm a heel myself, because I feel like I got what it takes, but because how this industry is and how it functions, I feel like I don't mind taking the bad guy role, you know what I mean, to get to where I need to be.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, fuck it, you know what I mean? Like, I know what I can do in the ring, but all this bullshit and all the facade that goes on the outside, I'll just keep it real. Y'all don't have to like me, but you know what time it is when I'm in the ring. So
it's more fun to be a heel anyway. I mean, a face.
Yeah, it's way more
fun. Sometimes it can be corny, you know, you don't believe it as much, but I always feel like wrestlers get excited to turn heel more than they do to turn face more often than not, especially nowadays. Back then in the 80s was different, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, like especially nowadays, like unless it's like natural, like where you're just getting cheered and you're still playing a heel, then of course you got to turn, right? But the last person where I was watching who was just so effortless at it was Bray Wyatt. when he first got in there.
Oh, man. Yeah. And now he's the Fiend. And So you're talking about their current shit. All right, man. I got you. Here we go.
But don't you think they screwed it up the first time?
Like,
this guy had everybody singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. I was like, yo, put him over, man. It's over.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's it. Like, but they fucked it up. So,
yep.
Like,
and they ruined Harper and Eric Rowan, and those guys are gone now. Yeah, it's they had to reinvent him. And now he's so popular, he kind of is a face, even though there's no way in hell that character is a face. I mean, he's wearing a mask.
No way. There's no way. But they love him so much because they know the talent is there and there's nothing like it. So you can't help yourself but to cheer for him. You know what I mean?
It's like with the New Day, when they first came out, they were supposed to be faces and nobody liked them. And then they just started like telling the crowd, like, all right, fuck you then. You know, we're going to call you out. And then everybody started loving them. And then, you know, they had no choice but to turn them face, and they've been faces ever since. But you're right. The talent sometimes wins over, even if the gimmick is lame or just or not thought out thoroughly, you know.
Yeah, man. I mean, another good one while we're on that topic is like the whole Matt Hardy thing. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. When I was watching him do all that shit, I was like, at first I was like, he lost his mind. But then as he continued it, I was like, this is genius. This is genius. And then speaking of the New Day, you remember that WrestleMania moment?
Oh, with Kofi?
I kind of stopped watching wrestling, but my brothers put me on. They were like, yo, you got to watch this. My little brothers were like bugging me about it. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And I was like, oh, shit, the Hardy Boys came back. And, yo, that might be
the ladder match,
the loudest pop I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy.
But unfortunately, WWE kind of dropped the ball. They didn't do the whole broken... I know they had to buy there's a whole thing with legal stuff about using it from Impact Wrestling. But, you know, Matt's gone now. And, you know, I think they kind of lost that chance to really do that same gimmick or at least a version of it. It didn't really work out.
It didn't, man. I feel bad for Matt because it was always about Jeff Hardy. Jeff. And I'm like...
Right.
Finally, Matt gets his moment. You know
what I mean? Yeah, man.
Finally. That was all Matt Hardy. That was not Jeff. You know, that was all Matt Hardy.
Right.
That pop was for Matt Hardy. You heard the crowd going, delete. That's all Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
So I was happy. That was his moment, really. You know, I was happy that he got that moment.
Good to see him get his chance. And Jeff's still there. And Matt's moved on to AEW. But, man, it's... I tell people all the time that the wrestling now, the dudes are more athletic than the guys I grew up watching. The gimmicks might have been better back in the 80s and 90s, but now it's these guys are doing moves and things that there's no way in hell. You could never see Hogan do half of the shit that they do now. There's no way this dude would ever be over.
No way. I mean, look how insane AJ Styles is in the ring.
That's my dude, yeah.
Yeah, like he's insane. Like he's like some of the shit I see him do, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy, you know. Like he's like a Shawn Michaels on steroids or something. It's insane. Like some of those moves. But yeah, you're right. Like the gimmicks were a little more out there in the 80s, but the athleticism definitely took a whole another step. What's going on right now?
Exactly. So. You have a favorite currently, or even of all time that you always go to?
Of all time, I'd have to say Bret the Hitman Hart, man. That was my favorite.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, but right now, I don't know, man. I guess I like Bray and AJ the most.
You know? You go. Those are two good ones right there.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
AJ's my guy because I stopped watching wrestling for, like, basically most of the 2000s. But I started watching TNA, and I'd see Gail Kim, who's another one who got me back into it, and AJ Styles. I'm like, man, they're doing things I've never seen before because I've been watching wrestling in, you know, a long time. And when AJ went to WWE, I'm like, that's it. I'm here every week. I'm watching it every week. You got me. You got me. And he's doing things in Japan and killing it. And he's my favorite of right now. Of all time, I'm a Macho Man nerd.
That's my dude,
of course, of all time. Macho Ricky Man, Steamboat, you know, those are my favorites when I think of the old. And I'm realizing that as I get older, I like the more athletic ones. As a kid, I liked Hogan. But as I got older, I realized that dude wasn't really that good. He was just, you know, he just... mad steroided up and screaming and stuff, but he really wasn't that gifted in the ring. And
he wasn't that great.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hate on him. It's just like his style doesn't fit now, and it's not long lasting. His persona is, but not what he did in the ring. So respect to the newer class for sure.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that.
Man, and talk about that joint heel working with Quell Chris, who's of course, you know, doing big things too. I mean, he's definitely one of my favorites out there right now.
Yeah, man, he's incredible, man. Stuff he's doing. So Yeah, like that. That was actually easy because his manager was the the publicist for Thank You Very Much. So that connection was pretty easy. So I kind of just reached out to my publicist, and then yeah, that record came out pretty nice. So it was real fast turnaround too. I might shoot a visual for that too.
Oh, that'd soon. Be cool. Yeah. You might do a kick sooner. Like Shawn Michaels. You might be kicking somebody in it or giving some sweet chin music.
Maybe I don't know, but it's definitely gonna be some wrestling, you know, wrestling like in between like clips while we're doing our thing, you know what I mean? Because the intro is actually from an MMA fighter. His name is Ally Quinta, right? And he fought I believe he fought Jorge Masvidal in that fight, right? And even though it seemed like he lost the fight, the crowd acted like he laid and prayed on him, and you know, like, no, they slugged it out. Al stood on his feet boxing and scrapping, you know. He didn't go the wrestling route and lay the plate on the guy, you know what I'm saying? And then when the decision comes out, I was like, yeah, this is close. This can go either way, but I lean towards Masvidal. But they give it to Ally Quinta, right? And I'm like, oh, shit, okay, I can see why. Maybe the second and third round. And then I remember when Al was like, are you guys booing me? Like, you better not boo me. I fought my fucking ass off. Fuck you. And I was like, I feel that. That's me.
Right.
Like, who the fuck are you booing? Like, I just busted my ass. You know what I'm saying? Like,
man,
it ain't like I boasted around and ran away. You know, I fought this man. But yeah, there's going to be some kind of wrestling MMA stuff going on in that video, like in between clips, maybe. I don't know. We still got to figure it out. I got to write the treatments for him. But yes, hopefully, first to second quarter of 2021, see some visuals for that.
Man, that's something to look forward to. Talking about From the Mud, the new album from Rock Abraham, another joint I said earlier that I meant to say Heal, but I get back to it now. Teeth, another banger off this record, man. Really feeling that at that joint. Talk about that album.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, man. That's we're actually shooting a video for that on the 20th.
Oh, there it is. Nice.
Yeah, we're shooting a video for that on the 20th. That was, I think that's the first song I recorded for this album. And yeah, I mean, it's a soulful joint. Like, I'm kind of just doing my thing, braggadocio, but at the same time, I'm talking about knocking people's teeth out, you know? So,
right. It's like you.
it's kind of ass backwards, but.
Whatever. That's why it works, though.
Yeah, I guess that's why I work. But you know, like, yeah, like that was the first joint I recorded for this album. I think it was the first or second. But yeah, a lot of people told me they fucked with it, and I was just like, yeah, I got to shoot a visual for that one. You know what I mean? So that's definitely happening. Later this month, hopefully it'll be out beginning of 2021 sometime. So yeah, definitely look out for that because it's definitely happening.
Man. You know. 2021, we got to keep watching for these visuals and songs you might be dropping. This album, yeah, it's a lot of bangers on here, a lot of songs on here. A couple of your albums, you do a lot of singing and vocalizing. Is that something you've always wanted to do? How did you come about doing that as well as doing MC?
Yeah, the singing thing, I don't even think I can sing. I can hold certain notes.
Right.
I can harmonize, you know what I mean? But it really comes down to the writing aspect. Like, all of my hooks I write in myself, you know what I mean? And half the time I have somebody in mind, you know what I mean? And I just can't get to that person for whatever reason. And that's, you know what? In retrospect, that's probably one of the more difficult parts during COVID, getting vocalists, like singers, into the studio. That's one thing that fucked it all up, but like I said, I'm happy with the outcome. Like, you know, I had somebody in mind for Karma to sing that. So when that shit didn't go through, I was like, man, fuck it. I'm just going to sing. I'm just going to do shit
I'm
going
to Luther Vandross this shit right here. Let me get in there.
You know what I mean? And Musina came through on Mercy. But yeah, I wrote that too. Like, so even on the first albums, like Have a Brew and like Cicerone, all of those choruses, I wrote them myself. But the good thing about that, those sessions, I was able to get a hold of like some vocalists and singers, but the problem with this album was that I wasn't able to get a hold of anybody, so I had to kind of force myself to do those hooks and start harmonizing a little more. But I think it worked out fine, you know, like
yeah,
like I realized, oh, I don't really need to do all that shit and chase people, you know, I can just do this shit myself. So
singing, yeah. Rapping, producing, you know, you're one stop shop, dude. You don't have to do anything else with anybody else.
Hey, if it works, you know, if it's not broken, well, why try to fix it, you know?
Man, I love the last joint too. F you. That's just a good way to just, you know, seal it up. Like, here's the end of the album. Fuck you.
Right. Yeah, that's it, man. Shouts out to Slim Cat 78 on that beat, man. But me and him used to do beat battles back in the day, and I remember you all playing beats, like, and I think I did the fifth beat grinder, and he did like the third or fourth beat grinder. They were all like beat battles in DC, and I remember he was battling somebody in the third or second round, and he played that beat, and I was like, oh shit, you know. But you know, I had a game face on. I didn't have no reaction.
Right.
And I looked at my girl. The whole crowd was going crazy. And I looked at my girl and I was like, at the time, I was like, yeah, that beat's all right, right? Yeah. It ain't like your shit, but it's all right.
Get out of here.
Like, in my head, I'm like, fuck, that beat is crazy as shit. And I was like, man, be honest, that beat's all right. I was like, nah, that shit's kind of hard, bro. I'm sorry. So I was like, yeah, man, like that. I always told myself, man, somebody like a Quali is going to end up on that beat, or Jay Electronica. But when it didn't happen, I was like, I reached out to him. I was like, yo, you remember that beat from like fucking back then? I was like, you still got that? I was like, yup. And then that's kind of how FU happened.
Oh, that's a cool story, man. See, that's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. That must be crazy, too, because since you make beats, but if you hear somebody else's and it just blows you away like that, like, that's how you know that's really something that somebody's created. Does that happen pretty often for you, where you hear a beat and you're like, damn it, I could have came up with that. How did I not do that? Or something like that.
Yeah, I do sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I don't necessarily have that kind of reaction where, like, yeah, like I would never chop that sample that way. But the way this individual approached it, very creative, you know. And I've heard it all, you know what I'm saying? I've heard everything, you know what I'm saying? So when somebody gets creative and impresses me, I was like, oh shit, this is something special, you know what I mean? So yeah, that was definitely one of those beats. But him in general, he's kind of a DC legend, you know. He's been producing shit for like decades now, so. That was just another one of those joints he had in his bag. He also did 10K on that album, and he did Mercy on that album.
Oh, okay. Well, so he worked for a couple joints. Okay.
Yeah, we did like 2-3 joints. But yeah, he's always been one of the best in the area. So yeah, definitely shouts out to him.
And you put out a beat album. I'm reading here. You worked on an SB 1200 for the whole album. How was that? I mean, that's just like a classic beat machine right there.
Yeah, man, that was fun, man. That was, I think, I don't know how it came about, but you know, like the SP was just so like celebrated, and I didn't really see anyone put out a beat tape. And you know, for some reason, low frequency just sounds completely different coming out of that machine. Like that 12-bit crunch that you hear on like those snares from back in the day on like those Pete Rock beats, you know what I mean? Like it can't be replicated. So I got it strictly because of that, because I was such a nerd and I was trying to have the best production possible, because my main thing was the MPC 2500. You know, that was like my main shit. The SP-303 for effects. I had a 2000 that I use occasionally, but yeah, like I got the SP-1200 strictly to run my drums through it. Then I was like, you know what? 10 seconds of sampling time. Who the fuck is going to tell me I can't make heat on this?
There you go.
Know what I mean, so I challenged myself and I kept uploading them on YouTube. You can actually find these beats on YouTube, and they started getting hits, you know, like 15, 20,000 streams. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Let me just put out a beat tape, I guess. And I kind of just put that out, and that's kind of how that happened, you know?
And the name of the album, Suck My Disc, is just that's a cool one right there, man.
Yeah, Nick the Wonder came up with that. He was like, yeah, because I had no idea what to call it. He just said, yeah, call that shit Suck My Disc. And I was like, oh, it's genius. And by the way, he's the one that he produced Teeth and Same Clothes on the
Okay. Man, shout out to him. Yeah, Same Clothes, another one on that record too. Sophisticated Palettes is another one that caught my attention too. I mean, a lot of bangers on that album, man. What's been the reception for this album? Have you gotten a lot of good reception from it, from people, fans and such?
Yeah, from the people that heard it. A lot of people were surprised because it didn't sound nothing like the last one. And but it's overall like people like it. Me personally, like I like both albums, but certain tracks are just like are hard for me to listen to based on like what I was talking about. Like to me, like Mercy, I get a little teary-eyed when I hear that shit based on what I'm talking about. But then others tell me, oh, it's inspiring. You know what I'm saying? It's an inspiring record. So I'm like, okay, it's interesting. You know what I mean? So songs like Candy's Story, you know, like that's a real story.
Yeah,
you know,
that was somebody. That one's serious. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one, that's like, when I hear that, I'm like, that's crazy, you know? So yeah, overall, I think people liked it, but we're still pushing it. You know, I feel like a lot of people still need to hear it. So we're going to shoot a ton of videos, man, maybe 5-6 videos at the least. So I'm just going to push them out all throughout 2021.
Man, people listening, go check out From the Mud from Rock Abraham. And the visuals, when they come, I mean, that definitely will help grow the album and get more people to come to it. Thank you for telling me about it. And I've been playing it for a couple weeks and just mad feeling it for sure. I wanted to ask you about the cover. Is that you as a kid on the cover there?
Yeah, that was me.
The parental advisory shirt, that's awesome.
Well, yeah, actually that was edited and
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Heck Dolo, he made the cover for that. He also made the beat for Sophisticated Palette, since you mentioned that record. So
oh, good.
Yeah, that's like my brother. That's like my best friend right there. So he's one of those crate digging motherfuckers, man. Like what was the record? Symbiosis?
Yeah,
he hit me with that sample way back in the day, like 2007. He hit me with that sample when nobody even knew about that record, you know. So yeah, he's a crate digging genius, man. So, but he started messing around with graphic designs, and he's the one that put the parental advisory on the shirt, and I was just like, oh, boom, that's perfect. That's the cover. That's it, you know?
That's perfect as a kid to run around wearing that outfit, man. Even though it's, you know, like you said, it was put together, but still, I could see someone like yourself or myself running around with a shirt like that back in like 93 or whatever.
Right, yeah. I mean, I wish that shirt was real.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, it made sense. He matched the colors and all of that to make it all cohesive. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, yep, we're done. That's it. Let's just put it out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You're talking about, you know, production side of it, since you didn't actually do the production on this album. You're talking about beats from, like, you know, 2007 and another beat from a couple years ago. And, like, you know, like beats and the production kind of came together over a period of time. It seems like, you know, that's not how you actually planned it out. It just seemed to work out that way. That's kind of a cool backstory to how this album got put together.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's just like, it's always like, I think that's the thing, at least with me. I feel like a lot of artists work that way. You're always working, and you always have shit in the stash. But until you're like, you do like 1 or 2 to 3 records, and then you're like, okay, we're going somewhere. And then once you have those 3 records, you kind of put an album together based on that. I think the first 3 off From the Mud were Teeth was number 1, number 2 was FU, and I think Same Clothes was the 3rd. So once I had those 3, I was like, okay, it's time to build around that.
Right, that's the vibe
there.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. Right, and then we kind of just, it all accumulated, and we eventually just put it together. That Sophisticated Palette beat, he's been sitting on that beat forever.
No, that joint is sick, man. I had to write that one down. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
yeah. And like, you know, like it be like, yeah, like me being competitive, you know, because me and Heck, we're cool, but we were always competitive. You know, I'll play him bangers, right? Like I'll play him like, what did I play him? Some that I know got reactions. See, I'll play him like the dank beat, right? And he'll barely like nod his head. And he'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good, man. And, you know, and I'm anticipating, like, him breaking his neck.
Right. Jumping up off the couch or something.
Like, oh, that's just crazy. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty good, man. It's pretty good. And then when he played that beat and he was nodding his head, I was like, yeah, you know, this shit's crazy, right? And I was like, in my head, I was like, yo, this is obnoxious. But I'm not even going to give him that reaction. I just kind of sit there and I was like, it's pretty good, man.
Stone-faced it. Yeah.
But I ended up using it anyway. So
there it is.
But, yeah, fun times.
That's probably the fun of it too at production, when somebody else, you can see their reaction or their non-reaction, but you know they're really feeling it more than they're letting on, because everybody's trying to play it off. That's cool. that's
man,
awesome.
That was that producer shit back then, man, because we were all in battles and you know what I mean? But like, I mean, as I've gotten older, man, I don't even hold it in anymore, man. You know, I'm just like, yo, this is fire. You know what I'm saying? Like for what? Like, yeah, we're all being competitive with one another, and that'll help us grow. But when somebody has some fire, Like, you gotta let them know and encourage them to keep going. Because sometimes that can be discouraging, you know? Like, as tough as it is to break through this business and this industry, you know? Like, I feel like people deserve their props when it's earned. So,
well said, well put. That's definitely the way it should be, man. And it's no different than MCing, you know, just a battling and trying to see who's better. And, you know, my beat, I'm bringing my beat to it, your beat, you know, and everybody's trying to compete and bring something to the table. So that's pretty cool, man. That's definitely how it should be. And like I said, the production on and the both albums is you could tell it's definitely, you guys weren't messing around on these two albums. And I'm looking forward to the new stuff, man. You're talking about the visuals and, you know, the song with Sky Zoo and Odyssey. Just where can people find your music and obviously this album here, From the Mud?
Yeah, man, it's available. It's available on all platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, whatever you use, it's out there. And as far as like social media, all of my handles, whether it's Twitter or IG, it's all Rock Abraham, you know, spelled RockAbraham. And it's more shit coming, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm probably going to drop some, like at least a single or two every month next year. Definitely several visuals from the last album here that we just dropped. So maybe another body of work at the latter of the year. I don't know yet. You know what I mean? But, definitely dropping something every month, and definitely dropping visuals. Just kind of keep the momentum going and see where it kind of leads us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, keeping them interested, man.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely got some. I definitely got a ton of shit that I've been sitting on. So can't wait to just let it all out, see what happens.
Man, thank you so much for coming on the show, dude. It's been a blast talking. I got a chance to talk about wrestling and video games, and I try to do that as often as I can, but it doesn't happen all the time. But definitely, you know, I got a friend, DJ Real One, and he always teases me because I talk about AJ Styles too much. So once again, AJ Styles got named, and I didn't even say it this time, so there it is.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, like you said, like, if you're good at what you do, you deserve your flowers, man. And he's incredible at what he does. So he's not one of those, oh yeah, I'm kind of here to just get a paycheck. Like, no, he's there to be like, yo, he's there to let everybody know, yo, I'm better than everybody. And here's the proof.
That's,
you know,
right.
So, yeah. Speaking of, just on some last minute touches, you know, it would be a fucking dream match. AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega. That would be fucking
crazy. And there's talk right now that Kenny is going to go to all the different brands and try to offer up a chance, because he just won the belt at AEW against the former Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley. And there's rumors. Right. I don't know how true this is, but Triple H, who runs NXT, is like, yeah, we'll welcome somebody from another company coming here if it works for us. I would love to see him show up on Raw one night and be like, AJ Styles, I'm here to call you out. And man, I think I would... That'd be a head nod. Like, you're talking about the production beats? Same thing. Like, yes.
Yeah, that'd be nuts, man. That'd be like another, like, Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart Iron Man match. That would be fucking
There you
crazy,
go. Yeah, when you just get two of the best at that time. And they wrestled in Japan, but, I mean, to see it here would be just
just crazy. I mean, the production value and everything. Yeah. Like, the storylines and the promos, man, that shit would be epic, man.
Man, let's hope for that. 2021, come on. Triple H listens. I know he does. Hey, put that together, man.
Yeah, put it together, man. We got fucked over this year. This fucking terrible year, you know what I mean? So hopefully this next year is better. So
has it been hard, too, because you're not doing shows or anything, so you can't really promote it live? I mean, that's got to be tough, too.
Yeah, man. It sucks, man. Can't do anything. Can't really do anything, you know what I mean? So, but, you know, it could always be worse. You know, it could always be worse. Like, I'm grateful that I'm able to put food on a plate, have a roof over my head, because a lot of people are hurting right now, man. It's been rough. Been rough for a lot.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, but you know, what can you do but remain optimistic and just hope for the best? You know what I mean? Like, if you whatever you manifest, you know, rather be positive or negative, you know, it will come into fruition. And will become a reality, you know. So I guess remaining positive throughout this whole thing is very, very important. You know?
No
and doubt. a little bit of weed, you know.
<There it is.
laughs> A little bit of dank.
I was gonna say that and some brew. You know, I get down with the Belgian beers, but yeah, there's something like that. Yeah, did some
dank. Yeah, a little bit of brews, a little bit of wine, maybe. That's not gonna hurt you, man. It's all good. You
know? And blast that From the Mud in the background while you're doing that too. I mean, without
exactly.
A doubt.
There you go,
man.
There you go.
Man, this album right here, Salute, dude. It's I literally did a salute. I put my hand on my head. Salute. This album is the shit, man. I'm feeling it. And thank you for coming on the Infinite Banter podcast. It was an honor having you on here, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it, man. And look out for the visuals. Look out for all the new shit. And hopefully we'll get From the Mud on vinyl next year. So
oh be a shit! Thing. Now you're talking my language, because I was gonna ask if you had any obviously you did downloads and MP3s and such, but to have a vinyl in my hand of From the Mud, now that would be something, man. I'll definitely you let me know, man. I'll throw some cash your way, of course. I got to get that. Oh, yeah, I got to get a copy.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're definitely gonna do in the middle of this whole the video campaign, we're gonna do a merch drop. I don't know when exactly, but yeah, it's definitely gonna happen. People have been bugging me about physicals, so I gotta do one for this. So yeah, man. It's definitely gonna happen. I don't know when, but I'll definitely be posted on that.
Yeah, for sure, man. Rock Abraham is in the building on the Infinite Banter podcast, the new album From the Mud. Don't Sleep. Go listen to it, check it out. Man, thanks again, Rock. I appreciate you coming through, dude.
Appreciate it, man. Salute.
Man, big up to Rock Abraham for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Love talking about video games, especially the old school back in that era, Atari, Nintendo, and all that. And yeah, and it was really cool to hear about his production game. I didn't really know that much about how much production he had done previous to this album, and that it's really one of his main fortes. So that's really cool. I got to check out that Beat album, Suck My Disc. It's just like saying that. It's impossible for me to say that title without laughing afterwards. But it's not a laughing matter. This shit is on fire, I'm sure. Here's that heel join. For those that don't know, in wrestling terms, heel is a bad guy. So face is a good guy. So you'll understand the hook when you're listening to this song. And he has a little HBK reference in there about sweet chin music. That's a kick to the face. So I'm trying to help you guys out. Those who don't like wrestling or don't know about it, doesn't matter if you do or not. This song right here is a straight banger. This is Heel featuring Quell Chris and Rock Abraham on that new album From the Mud here on the Infinite Banter podcast.
Are you guys booing me? Are you guys? You better not boo me. I tore my ass off. You. I tore my ass off tonight.
Obviously, you had to dig deep after that first round. Your thoughts going into that second round? You felt like you had the cardio to hold up? Good, I'm good.
Chasing M's, I ain't messing with the quarters. I'm confident we got to be torn, testing the waters. Add women digmatized and drawing portraits. Enunciate before I get your Migos deported. Nothing watered down, I hit you with the usual. All orchestrated from my respected cubicle. Closest to mainstream is when I hit the urinal. But I'll be fresh to death when I hit your funeral. Three-piece suit, see me cruise. You need these juices, feed me bruise. I put you in the evening news. The heathens choose to see me lose, but I eat your food.
Kill.
They say good guys are finished last, and that is real.
Facts.
The moon of my whole life, all I could do was heal.
Facts.
Was righteous, but got nothing but low blows.
Uh-huh.
And Ric Flair was always right about these drug hoes. Now let's just cut through the chase. I'd rather be a heel than a face. Heel to the face, sweet chin music. Heel to the face, that sweet chin music. Now let's just cut through the chase. I'd rather be a heel than a face. Heel to the face, sweet chin music. Heel to the face, that sweet chin music.
Head lock to drop. Put a sleeper hold on a hole. Burn another bowl to reach the top rope. Serrano. If you ain't know about me, big dummy, you need to know. And if you ain't poppin' my shit in the deck, you need to go. My bar serve hot all hours. You mac these breakfast for the set list, young respect. I got the hottest chick in the game, turned up my neck. It's blood and sweat, tears of joy run out of check. Slick Ricky Minx and chain champagne for the gas. Horsepower pumping under these packs. Grand Prix is street ready. Hit the block with the knot, Stanley plus the gas. Another plug that pops the bass, be extra top heavy. Look, cash you out for my jock heavy. Then the something with the something color, something pattern, feel it, get me. If you do, you know that's fucking great. Then we talking about getting cakes. Skip the steak, cut to the fucking chase.
Now let's just cut through the chase. I'd rather be a heel than a face. Heel to the face, sweet chin music. Heel to the face, that sweet chin music. Now let's just cut through the chase. I'd rather be a heel than a face. Heel to the face, sweet chin music. Heel to the face, that sweet chin music.
Tekashi, Reagan Ever Records. Shout out to Infinite Banter Podcast, DJ Soundwave. You already know, West Coast in this.
What up, Big Bruh? Listen to the Big Bruh Podcast.
What's good, people? This your boy, Big Bruh. I'm the host of Live with Big Bruh, a podcast where I keep it raw, uncut, uncensored, and unfiltered. Always keeping it 100 and giving you guys my opinion on topics that you need to go check out. Live with Big Bruh is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio, or wherever else you like to listen to your favorite podcast. Make sure you go subscribe, rate, and share it. And while you're at it, tell your friends to tell their friends to do the same thing. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Live with Big Bruh. And remember, they can hold you, but they can't stop you. Big Bruh out.
Hey, this is Zeta Zang, and you're listening to Infinite Banter Podcast.
Time for you to leave, asshole.
Head, shoulder, knees, and toes. Oh, fuck, I'm recording. Hey, that was Kirk Acevedo telling me to get out of here, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. You might have just... Yeah. That. So here's the thing real quick before I get out of here. I have an 18-month-old, and she watches a lot of these YouTube song things. Something called Coco Melon, Super JoJo. Anybody with kids out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. She'll watch Sesame Street, and there's all these songs, and man, that Head and Shoulders shit gets stuck in my head, or I don't even know the songs. It just, all I know is that I'll be at work or something, or I'll be in my car, and it's like this Elmo joint playing in my head, and I talked about this on the Sports Life and Hip Hop podcast. Go check them out on YouTube. I don't know how to get it out of there. Like, these songs pop up. I'm trying to, you know, learn these songs for these artists that are coming on here, and, you know, 1 minute I'm singing along to a Rock Abraham joint in my head, and then, you know, 10 minutes later, you know, See Us or Cookie is playing in my head. So, you know, if you have, like, a loved one or a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, somebody that's around you all the time is playing music you don't necessarily like, and that shit just gets stuck in your head. It's mind-boggling because it's like, man, why am I listening? I don't like this. Why is this in there? And then I can't get it out. So yeah, I don't have mumble rap stuck in my head. I don't have like the new hot shit. I don't know anything about these new music artists that are out right now. But I do know that, you know, Elmo drops that Hot 16 and it's stuck in my head for like, you know, 10-15 minutes before I could go to my phone and play something to get it out of there. It's just crazy, man. It's just this is the life. I'll take, you know what, I'll say this. I'd rather listen to The Count than listen to whoever the country music artist is that people like right now. I couldn't listen to. I can't even name one. Who's that dude with the hat? Garth Brooks? If my wife was into like country music, thank God she's not. She doesn't even know what the hell. I don't think she even knows what it is. But if she were to be playing that in the car, I'd want to jump out the car, man. I couldn't handle that. As bad as, you know, hearing, you know, Ernie and Bert sing about being friends or whatever. Yeah, I'll take that over Garth Brooks or insert popular country music singer, insert mumble rap singer, because I don't know these people. When I play real music here on the Infinite Banter Podcast, you know what's up. Maybe I'll get Elmo on here. He could talk about, hey, I would talk to Elmo. Maybe I get him on here. We'll talk about his new joint that's coming out, you know. It's so stupid. Before I get out of here, I have to acknowledge a couple of actors that have passed away. I saw Jeremy Bullock passed away today. He's the original actor of Boba Fett in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi movies. And it's really crazy to think about how they brought, here, spoiler, 1, 2, 3, pause. All right, here we go. If you don't want to hear, on The Mandalorian, Boba Fett is back. He is not playing Boba Fett anymore. You know, he is the guy who originally put on the uniform and played the character. It's, you know, it's sad to see that he passed away. And I would imagine that, you know, once conventions come back and all that, he will be in higher demand because people are going to be more excited about Boba Fett again. And he's the original Boba Fett. So he, you know, do a lot of signatures and clean up on the convention circuit. I saw he also was in a couple of James Bond films, and he had a couple of parts also in the Star Wars movies where he wasn't in a Boba Fett costume. So definitely got to give a rest in peace for Jeremy Bullock and also Tommy Tiny Lister. Some of you guys know him as Zeus from the No Holds Barred movie with Hulk Hogan and his time in WWE. Really good actor. A lot of us know him as Debo from Friday. He played Bruno in Armed and Dangerous, that movie with John Candy and Eugene Levy, a movie I played a lot growing up. He passed away as well. I was lucky enough to meet him a couple years ago at the Days of the Dead convention. I posted a picture I took with him. Me and my friend Noel, we met him at that convention, and he was a really cool guy. When we met him, he couldn't get up from his seat, so our picture with him is with him sitting down. You know, disappointing and depressing to see that somebody who was known for his stature and how big he was and muscular and built he was, that he, you know, he just unfortunately was, you know, at a point where he couldn't stand and do things. So it definitely was sad to see him in that condition, and sad to see that he has passed on. And I did read that COVID was something he had before, and it might have contributed to his passing. So yeah, rest in peace to two guys who definitely were part of my childhood growing up. WWE, when he was in going up against Hulk Hogan, he went from the movie No Holds Barred, and then next thing you know, he's at SummerSlam, and he looked unstoppable. I would have loved to have seen him get a title run. And they weren't taking that belt off of Hogan no matter what, but it would have been cool to see him get it for a couple months. I didn't see WWE do any kind of tribute to him or put even a still shot like they usually do. Like Pat Patterson passed recently and they did something for him. They did a lot of things for him. You'll see before Raw or SmackDown comes on, it'd be like a 5-second shot of a picture of someone who passed. And I was a little disappointed they did not do something for him, but if they did, you know, let me know, correct me, but I didn't notice anything. But definitely rest in peace to Tiny Lister, Debo, and Jeremy Bullock, the original Boba Fett. And one last thing before I get out of here. Big anniversary for The Jerk. Came out December 14th, 1979. Easily one of my favorite comedies of all time, without a doubt. That's what got me hooked on to Steve Martin, is watching that movie. Hip-hop heads remember EPMD. They did a song called Do the Steve Martin based on that movie, The Jerk. So, love that flick, man. I could watch it all day. And I'll watch it right now. After this Rock Abraham joint drops and it's finished, turn it on right now. Love that damn movie. So many great scenes in it. So many great lines. Probably my favorite sequence is the whole gas station with Jackie Mason parts where he moves into the bathroom. Or he thinks he's moving to the bathroom, but he's not. But the phone books are here, and there's the scene after the phone books where there's a guy who wants to kill somebody by randomly finding them in the phone book, and he starts shooting at cans and such at the gas station where Steve Martin's character and Jackie Mason's character work. This is one of my favorite scenes, and he's shooting at cans. Steve Martin thinks that, you know, he's shooting at the cans, not him. He's shooting these cans. He hates these cans. And Jackie Mason finally realizes what's going on, and he has the whole scene where he's like, he's trying to put holes in these cans. He's trying to put holes in you. It's probably a terrible Jackie Mason impression, but... I just love that movie, man. Special Purpose. I think I say Special Purpose every now and then as a reference point. Just so many. It's hard to just like say stuff. I mean, it's easier just to watch the movie, and there's nothing about that movie that doesn't move me. Just I could watch it constantly. So big up to The Jerk. And that's it. I'm going to get out of here. Stay tuned for the next episode. Go out there and support that Drake House Back from the Stars. Go cop that Zilla Rocket and Chong Wizard, Midnight Suns, Reagan Era Records. Their album just dropped. All right, thanks for checking out the show, Infinite Banter. Big shout out to Rock Abraham. We're going to play one more song of his before we get out of here. But definitely go check out his new album, From the Mud. I heard it on Bandcamp. It's also on Spotify, so don't sleep. Go check him out. Listen to the show on all digital platforms, usual places, wherever you're listening to it right now. Keep doing that. Go tell a friend. Go tell somebody. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter, at Infinite Banter. Same for Facebook. Same for Instagram. Go on YouTube. Type in Infinite Banter. You'll find clips from past episodes, past guests. Links to those full episodes are in there as well. So definitely check it out. I appreciate it. All right, let's go ahead. Let's get this Elmo out of my head, out of your head. Unless you like it, you know, go ahead and keep whistling that shit along. I talked about this record here in the interview with Rock Abraham. It's called Adels, and it's about video games. And if you're a video game nerd, this is right here for you. Got that Zelda sample. I wasn't like a big Zelda fan. I mean, I was aware of it. I knew it was a big deal. You know, I was more of a Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Mario Brothers, Mega Man. I more played those games on Nintendo, but I mean, I know Zelda's like one of the big ones, so for you Zelda heads, I think Tony might be listening. This is for you right here. So this is Rock Abraham from his album, Thank You Very Much. Big up to Rock Abraham. Go check out his album, From the Mud, Don't Sleep, and I'll see you on the next one. I'm out.
Hey, asshole, get off the road.
All-nighter with the PlayStation. My first can of Swish was a game changer. Little youngin' in an arcade doing coin flips. Used to play my Xbox until she dissed my joystick. Cheat codes on deck, used daily. Strippin' bitches down, Croft, Justin Bailey. Stuck on a couch. Need to do some cardio, but it's difficult when you on shrooms like Mario. Look, I'm tired of It's especially a functional one for who I'm facing. Reptilian, I expose anatomy. Fuck a friendship, they deserve fatality. Crash like Danny Cooper, my ass is in bed, still stuck on his couch. Hit the tracks like Sonic, so difficult, but Shinobi was the hardest. Try and beat the game of life, it ain't promise. I wanna fuck Samus, put a cannon in her socket. I ain't taking L's, a dub is my only option. And my old girl, Jai, liked me dirty. I used to have that girl swallowing like Kirby. And I'll be drinking juice bombs till the race over. Sincerely yours, a craft guard, game over.
Being on the Infinite Banner with my man Mark has been a pleasure.